I was just thinking about the big winners at Royal Ascot 2020. Sorry, hello. This is Cornelius Lysard on the Cornelius Cast. Just saying, I was thinking about the big winners at Royal Ascot. Frankie Dettori, John Gosden, Aidan O'Brien, all of them, obviously. Jim Crowley riding six winners, Alan King training three, Hayley Turner and Charlie Fellows winning the Sandringham again with a 33-1 shot. Holly Doyle and Tom Marquand and Kevin Stott all getting winners. The Queen winning as though she'd have won any other race almost, the Windsor Castle Stakes. We could go on, and I may well have missed out your favourite. I do think, though, there's one more name to add to any list, because racecourse-wise, Newcastle Racecourse certainly had a mighty week to continue a pretty mighty run of form. By my calculation, 13 of the 36 winners, over a third, had run on the artificial all-weather surface at Gosforth Park, Newcastle, and they included Frankly Darling, now favourite for the Oaks, Sir Busker and Dark Vision. Dark Vision won the Royal Hunt Cup. Art Power, very impressive in his race. Dandala won the Albany Stakes, and Palace Pier, the St James's Palace Stakes. The Gold Cup hero, Stradivarius, won his first ever race there in 2016. Enable, who's won the Prix de l'Arc de Triomphe a couple of times, won there early on as well. And one or two people are a bit sniffy about when I've mentioned this statistic, saying, well, look, of course these horses ran at Newcastle after the resumption because there weren't many other options. But I think that's to slightly miss the point, and there were other options as well. The main thing is, though, that the all-weather circuit, Newcastle, Lingfield, Southall, Wolverhampton, Kempton, Chelmsford, Dundalk in Ireland, once considered the poor relation of the turf. Well, that's no longer the case. This episode 3 of Cornelius Cast is being recorded in the week of Newcastle's biggest flat race of the year, the Northumberland Plate, won in 2019 by Who Dares Wins, who won at Royal Ascot this year. And I'm really pleased the clerk of the course, James Armstrong, has been able to join us. I bet you were cheering plenty of horses at Royal Ascot 2020.
Yes, we were. We were all very proud of a lot of the runners there. It was trying to keep up with them. My Racing Post tracker is crammed full of horses to follow, and you never really quite know what's going to materialise from a November meeting here and where you're going to see its meteoric rises to, I suppose.
And there must be a sort of feeling of pride, because people have been sneery for decades about the all-weather circuit, haven't they? But here's Stradivarius popping up from Newcastle. Here's Enable. Here are these other horses that we heard at Royal Ascot this year.
Absolutely. I mean, we're obviously late to the party in the all-weather front. We've now been up and running in our fifth year now, and it's great. You know, the first year you see the likes of Enable and Stradivarius winning, albeit not that impressively here. You never really got your head around the fact that they were going to go to the heights that they have. It's been very exciting to watch, and now we're constantly watching every novice race here, hoping to see another superstar, and quite likely to.
Yeah, I'm imagining you in November, December, the horse boxes have rolled in from Newmarket. You've got floodlights on so that the racing sometimes on pretty chilly evening. And you think, John Gosden's got one in the fourth race. Let's go and have a look at him or her.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there's plenty of good horses coming up here at that time of year. And obviously the turf season's over, and maybe some of the more backward horses or horses who just haven't been able to get out during the turf season are getting a run before they turn three. And we're seeing some lovely horses that you just really do not know what they're going to go on to achieve. And I think that's rather nice, you know. A cold, bleak and miserable November evening up here can be pretty tough going, but it warms you to see that you might potentially have some stars for the futures coming through.
Is there anyone that sticks in your mind you thought, gracious, look at that, I'm going to be following that? Was it Stradivarius or Enable?
Well, it was so early on in our all-weather time, really. That was our very first year. But yes, you look on, I mean, the following year, we were particularly looking out for the likes. And we were Without Parole, who went on to win the St James Palace and now racing in America. And obviously, you know, the Good Friday meeting we have has been a big success. The Burden Stakes went from a conditions race to a listed race in the second year. And we had Gronkowski win. He's obviously gone on to be second in the Kentucky Derby to justify, and beaten a very short nose in the World Cup in Dubai by Thunder Snow this year. So you just never know what you're going to find and see, and it's very exciting.
I love the way you just reel them off, because you obviously are following them closely.
Well, you do, but you never quite know which ones to follow. Some of them creep out the woodwork that finish further down the field, like Calusi last week, who was second in the novice event here. So, yeah, you never quite know what you'll find.
Now, what John Gosden is the one particular trainer from Newmarket who trains Stradivarius and Enable and Frankly Darling and plenty of others that come up to you. What do you, I should really ask him this rather than you, but what do you think he likes about what you've got on offer?
Well, I think the uniqueness of the Mile Straight, it's a very fair track. The way it, you know, we've kept all the relief and same levels as the old track. So really, it hasn't changed essentially apart from the surface. You have from the mile end to around about 5.5 furlongs, you're trapping along at only, I think it increases in height about 4 feet. From there, you drop another 4 feet back down to the same level you start at the mile end. And then you're at the lowest point on the straight, which is about 3.5, 4 furlongs from home. And then you have a gradual 23-foot rise to the winning line. So it's a nice course. You know, you haven't got any nasty steep undulations, just gradual climbs. And, you know, even English King, who won a mile and a quarter novice race here last year.
Favourite for the Derby.
Won over the mile and a quarter course. And obviously, it's a true test, that. And you really do need a horse that can stay.
So I've been to Newcastle lots of times. So if I actually paid attention, or indeed walked over to sort of a mile and a quarter from home, and then walked all the way around and measured it, I would have climbed how many feet?
It's from the lowest point in the back straight, which is about 6 furlongs from home, just before you start the rise into the turn for home. It rises from there to the winning line by 50 feet.
Gosh. But it's gradual enough, in fact, for you, unless you're really looking out for it, to barely notice it.
Absolutely. I mean, you do notice it when you're walking around on a day like today.
Well, especially when you're clerk of the course and you do it all the time.
but no, it has plate winners and the like. You know, a 2 mile race run around here at a good gallop, it takes a good staying horse to get the trip.
And actually, you mentioned English King and Kimiko as well, mm-hmm. who are the two leading contenders for the Derby. So they have both done have achieved a lot on their CV at Newcastle. So actually, my introduction, which I suddenly thought I'd been talking for 2 minutes, I better shut up and bring in my guest here. But I should really have mentioned English King and Kimiko. So when we get to the Derby at Epsom a month later than scheduled, you won't know which one to cheer on.
No, I mean, we'll quite happily have the forecast, I think, wouldn't we?
Now, sort out the pronunciation. The word, your surface, is spelt T-A-P-E-T-A, and I never know whether it is Tapeta or Tapeta. They both sound right. So give us as definitive a version as you can, Dave.
Well, I call it Tapeta myself.
Right.
Michael Dickinson would set you straight, but it's named after his farm in Maryland. So
yeah, he's the inventor.
I don't think he would complain either way, but he's very pleased at how things are going here. And he's regularly in touch with us. He keeps an eye on absolutely every statistic we've got, as you would imagine.
Well, when he was a jockey and a trainer, he was a famously assiduous person. Everything was detailed. I'm sure he's assiduous now in terms of laying down his tracks.
Absolutely. I mean, his team have been brilliant. Joan, his wife, is regularly in contact. She visits us at least 3 or 4 times a year just to keep an eye on what we're doing, making sure we're doing everything as we should. And they seem very happy with the way things are going. But they've been very good. They're always on the end of the telephone if we've got any queries about how to work the track in certain conditions. Because, you know, it's primarily an all-weather track, comes to its prime in the winter months. It's more of a challenge in many respects at this time of the year because it's so warm. It does ride a lot slower. So cooler weather and rain really helps the track come to its
best. Well, so a bleak northeast of England winter is it's in its element, is it?
It really is, yeah, I suppose so. As long as it doesn't snow, that then creates other headaches, which we can deal with to a certain degree. But we've only lost 1.5 fixtures due to snow.
And one of them, I seem to remember, was a proper snowstorm. The pictures practically won awards.
Yes, there was nothing you could do. And actually, the track coped quite well, but the service roads and those that provide cover from the medical teams were not safe. So, it does stand up very well.
So at the end of June, when you've got the plate, which is run on the surface, what does the, and in 2020, it looks as though it's going to be run in considerable heat. What are the challenges then?
It just does tend to ride that bit slower. The waxes in the material will become easier, and it becomes a bit more sticky, and obviously there's an element of more kickback. When it's wetter and colder, the waxes bind better and generally rides better, very little kickback. Thankfully, actually, as much as this, we're enjoying this heat to a degree, the weather is set to break Friday night, so we're going to get a cooler temperatures and probably a wet day on Saturday, not torrential rain, but sort of 4 or 5 mils. So that moisture will help the course ride a lot better than if we were running today.
So, as you said, I think it was May 2016 when the all-weather circuit came to Newcastle and the turf flat race course had gone, the jumps course remained turf. Just remind us of the timeline. So I think it was, what, 2 or 3 years earlier when the officials at ARC, the Arena Racing Company, decided that this is what they were going to do and you had to dig up the turf track.
Yeah, and that all started in sort of October of 2015. So it was a relatively short spell that the work was done, and Stobarts did all the main civil engineering works, and I have to say were superb. Meanwhile, we continued to race on the turf on the jumps course throughout that winter, and obviously taking on any big projects in winter is a headache, particularly in the northeast of England, but everything was executed to perfection. They completed on time and had enough time to have plenty of trials and try the floodlights, and I think it was the 17th of May we had our first meeting, and there's been no looking back since, really.
And there was a story I remember before it opened, because all these floodlights, and the same story I think was given for Kempton, because Kempton is very near Heathrow Airport, you're very near Newcastle Airport. And wasn't there a suggestion that the aviation people were a bit worried that a pilot who wasn't on his mettle might get a bit confused, especially with your long straight.
Well, yes, exactly, which is pretty similar line to an airport runway. Now, one of the floodlights was so tall that there were minor flickers on the radar, so things were adjusted slightly to accommodate that. But overall, that was really the only headache we had. No looking back since, really.
Yeah, and you talked about the straight mile that people liken it being a fair track. Now, I know you're a part-time artist, so when I ask you to paint a picture, just paint a little picture for those who haven't been lucky enough to go to Newcastle Racecourse of what the layout is.
Mm. Well, it's a bit of an oasis, really, just on the northern side of the town. Gosforth is the local sort of suburb to Newcastle that literally backs onto the racecourse. It's a near 900-acre estate, and there are two golf courses here, plus the race course. There's a nature reserve with lakes and otters and badgers and ample deer, as you may have seen in the past. And it's a bit of an oasis on the northern side of the town, where the track itself, there's a mile straight, and then a mile and three-quarter loop. And we also have the National Hunt course, which comprises of the chase course and hurdle track. So it's undulating, but very nice flowing bends. You never really, in theory, get too many hard luck stories here. It's a nice track to ride. I think the jockeys enjoy riding here. And even in the plate, where we have 20 runners, and if you're drawn 18, 19 or 20, as much as everyone who is drawn out there will find it hard to get a position, if you can ride to a position relatively quickly in the first couple of furlongs, before you get to the winning line for the first time, you have still got a shouting chance of winning. I think the Vars, which was run as the race before the plate, which is the reserve race now, in the first year, there were lots of complaints about people in boxes 17, 18, 19, 20, thinking they had absolutely no chance. But actually, the winner, and I think the second horse, came from possibly 18 and 19 or even 20. So it's very fair. Everyone gets a chance despite the draw, which is unique for the plate, obviously.
So the Northumberland plate, so in terms of weights, the first 20 in the weights go into the plate, the next 20 go into the Vars. That's right, that's how it works. And so it's 2 miles. Always amazes me that when you've got a 2 mile race and you've got mainly experience, a lot of experienced jockeys riding, that obviously stall one's on the inside of the track. So if you think of athletics, it would be staggered, and it's not in racing. But surely, if you're in one of the wide draws, you've still got 2 miles to sort yourself out.
Yeah, and it's not like we have tight bends where there's lots of scrimmaging occurring and things. And now when they swing into the home straight, having come off the home bend, rather than hugging the inside line, they do spread out and they come down the middle to far rail. And it gives everybody a fair chance, really. I mean, it's like the mile straight. Years ago when I first started here, for the turf races, all the stalls were always put on the stands rail, which became known as the Golden Highway. And those who were lucky enough to break well early pretty much hugged the rail and had the race in the bag. After deliberating over time with jockeys, we decided to put the stalls in the middle, and it did give everyone a much fairer chance. There is a tendency for some to come down the stands rail, and I understand some of the younger horses might want something to run against. And there's a perceived bias, but I honestly can tell you there is no bias here. We work the course exactly the same. They have the same kit set at the same settings, same depths, and any bias is really, it only comes about by the pace in the race, I suspect.
So when you talk about working, that there's literally a tractor what is the implement? Has it got a special name?
Well, the track is 15 metres wide. So we have three machines that are 5 metres each, and they are driven in the right positions so that you cover the whole course whenever we gallop master. The good thing with Tapita, you really only need to do it once, maybe twice during a meeting. So we'll go up the track before racing, park the tractors behind the mile start, and then after four races, we'll bring the tractors back down just to give the course a tickle over and level up any sort of slight undulations and hoof prints.
And I was just thinking, Epsom's got the Derby, Newmarket's got the Guineas, York's got the International Stakes, but none of them have got the Northumberland Plate, which is Newcastle's race, always the end of June, what they call a heritage handicap. You're a Northumberland person, aren't you? So you're in a good position to, in a part of the country that if you just walk down or if you just sort of mention Newcastle, people would probably say football, St James's Park, the Magpies. But Northumberland Plate, it always strikes me, this is pretty big in the sporting heritage of Northumberland and the North East.
It is, definitely. I mean, it's a big weekend, generally. It's strange, obviously, this year being condensed into one day and obviously not having a crowd. I mean, it's a big event for everybody. I mean, Brian Ellison, who's been longing to win the Plate year after year and come so close with the likes of Seymour and various others, makes it a big event for him. You know, it's his birthday weekend.
I think he was born on Plate Day, wasn't he? Yeah,
absolutely. Mm. And he stays locally, and it's a big deal for him. And it's the same for a lot of the people in North East. It's a big event. They come back year after year. So it's going to be very strange having no crowd here whatsoever.
So how many people will witness live, approximately, the 2020 Northumberland Plate?
Probably 300 maximum. That would be our staff, all the staff that are coming with horses, and trainers and trainers representatives.
And normally?
Upwards of 20,000.
And again, I've asked you to paint one picture already. Paint another picture of the atmosphere on Plate Day. It is, everyone in the media always says, unless you've been there, you've never really experienced a proper race day. It makes Ladies' Day at Liverpool, it makes Derby Day at Epsom seem somebody said a bit like a vicarage tea party in comparison.
People in the Northeast love it. It's in their social diary, and you know, they save up for it, and they really let their hair down and enjoy themselves. As soon as the gates open at 10 o'clock, it's they're flooding to get the best positions on benches and seating around the parade ring, and they settle in for the day and enjoy themselves. And you see the last lots staggering down the road at 9, 10 o'clock in the evening.
Everyone dresses up?
They dress up, and they make a really big effort. There's some interesting sights towards the end of the afternoon, but it is a big occasion for everybody, whether you're in the far end or in the club enclosure or in hospitality. It's a historically well-attended event.
And I read that the boost for the economy of Newcastle on that day, you know, we are talking millions of pounds, as I suppose people do everything from buy a new hat to going on to the pubs and the bars and the restaurants later on in the day.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people come up. They race on the Friday night, which historically is Gosford Park night, and we have the Group 3 Hoppings on that night.
What's the Hoppings?
It's a Group 3 listed fillies race.
Right.
It's a cracking card in its own right, normally. That is now condensed and moved into this Saturday, which is great. And of course, everyone goes out after that. They have a good night out. They're staying locally in hotels. And then they all roll back in again for a second bite of the cherry on the
round two
Saturday morning. Well, some of them round three if they were here on Thursday.
So normally it's a three-day meeting.
Yeah.
So, well, that was, I suppose, though, Newcastle United are playing in front of nobody at the moment as well, aren't they? So these are just strange times that we all live in.
Absolutely. It is very strange. But to be running a Northumberland plate with very few people here will feel very strange. But it's great that it's being run, and we're looking forward to what looks like a very competitive day's racing, actually.
Yeah, and the Pitman's Derby, some people call it, don't they? Brian Ellison is often trained. If you ever see a horse trained by Brian Ellison in the lineup for the Northumberland plate, you want a good look at it, because it is, you know, his life will be complete, I think, won't it?
He's right, the one
who wears that particular thing, that particular passion on his arm most.
Well, I think anyone who's born and bred in this part of the world wants to. Karen McClintock would love to win it with the Barwie 50, the likes of the local trainers up here. If they ever had a horse capable of running in it, it would be such a huge deal for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did mention the jumps track there. So always, I know that you're quite into your nature and ornithology, but it's one of my favourite quiz questions that always catches people out. Your big steeplechase of the year is the Ida Chase. And I'm amazed by how many people don't know having said that, I did look it up at some point in my life. But an Ida, what type of bird is an Ida?
It's a duck.
Right.
They're found quite a lot around the northeast coast around here. I think they're elsewhere. They spend, I think, their time in the Arctic, I think. I'm not quite sure where they migrate to, or some of them are resident as well. But I think historically here, there were lots of races named after ducks in the past. Pintail, mallard, all sorts of things. But they've sort of fallen by the wayside over the years.
And mentioned the jumps track. I once had a Sharon horse that won two 2-mile and 1 2.5-mile race at Newcastle. So judge by what you've said, he must have been stamina laden. his stamina certainly lasted the distance in those races.
Yeah, well, it takes a serious horse to win an Ida. I mean, when you think that Comply or Die managed to win the Grand National that year too, it's quite some achievement.
So Comply or Die had won the ever grueling Ida in February, and then went on and won that year's Grand National.
Yeah, some achievement, really. And then you look at, harping to the other races, you look at Old Overturn, who obviously won a Fighting Fifth and also won a Northumberland Plate. It's quite some achievement as well.
So, and the Fighting Fifth in November, your big hurdle race of the year. You reeled off some birds' names there, and I did touch on the fact that you're a bit of an amateur artist as well. Well, actually, that's a bit unfair to say amateur. You're a bit of an artist as well. And I wanted to mention your lockdown project, because I've seen mention of that on social media. You decided to paint the country's racecourses, basically, or a map of them.
A map. It was a bit novel, really, just a few illustrations to go with as many as I can squeeze on. No, it's just a bit of fun, really, just to keep the dry matter ticking over. And to be honest, ever since the All Weather arrived, I haven't had a lot of time to do much drawing, but I've got one or two commissions to be doing. That was just a nice little project.
But you're flogging it for charity, though, aren't you?
I'm going to contribute some money to the NHS and racing welfare. So we'll see how the sales go. But I've got to get it to print yet. So we'll see.
Well, that sounds worthwhile. Have you made Newcastle prominent on the map with a lovely illustration?
There is a picture of Overturn on there. I struggle to wonder who to put on, but Overturn got the nod just because of his achievements with Fighting Fifth and Plate. But there weren't enough spaces for Enable, Stradivarius, Without Parole, Gronkowski, etc. So we'll have to make another one.
Well, and we've had a joke before that many racecourses, when they get a good horse that's run there, however remotely and distantly, they name bars after it. Do you think we might have an Enable bar or a Stradivarius bar?
Certainly a race or a bar. We're going to have a lot of bars, I think, aren't we?
Yeah, well, on plate day, you need them.
We do. We've got marquees named after previous winners. We're going to have to certainly come up with something for all of these.
And just to be going back to the fact these horses have progressed from Newcastle, being just a bit corporate for a moment, obviously ARC has invested a lot of money in its all-weather circuit, Newcastle, and its other all-weather courses. So there must be a certain satisfaction, regardless for you. You're running the show on a race day basis. But for those who've made their investment, and people, when the turf course at Newcastle was taken up, people were quite critical. They said it was brilliant and never be the same again. So there must be a sort of certain satisfaction. Well, actually, you're all rather enjoying it, aren't you?
No, well, we are. I mean, it has been a success. You can't doubt it. And, you know, we wouldn't have seen these horses running at Newcastle if we didn't have it. Horses don't run on turf in November. They have the opportunity now. You know, it's been completely justified. And, you know, I spent 15 years trying to get that grass turf track to perfection. You know, it was sad to see it go at the time, but there's no looking back now at all. I can sleep easy at night too when it pours down with the rain, and knowing that all it's going to do is make the track ride better. You know, it's been fully justified and well supported, and we appreciate the John Gosdens and Roger Varians, Mark Abottis, and all our local trainers who come up here. I mean, you know, it's almost probably given a lifeline to quite a lot of regional trainers from this part of the world who have now got opportunities to keep horse in training during the winter months when they wouldn't have done. And, you know, you look at the likes of Michael Dodds and Ben Haslam, who's had a wonderful strike rate here in the last 2 years. We get plenty of support from people in Malton, Richard Fahey's, Comanchos. There's lots. I mean, no shortage of runners.
Yeah, you're very near the A1, aren't you? So easy access once you've got past the Metro Centre.
Everything's, yeah. Particularly at the moment, travel is nice and easy. So, but you know, we're a good location and very easy to get to on the whole.
And you had your first Group One, first top level race on the surface last year because it had to be transferred from Doncaster. I imagine everyone ambitious to try and do that kind of thing. You can't just invent a Group One race overnight, but do that kind of thing again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Ark were keen, and you know, luckily John Dance is a great supporter of Newcastle, and
he was the sponsor that brought his race there.
Absolutely. He and Wertham were keen to keep the race, and the logical sense was to bring it here because we could guarantee to get the show on the road, and it proved really very successful.
Final thought. For those who haven't been to the Northumberland Plate, which is obviously your big day of the year, and in 2021, hopefully the gates will be open, everyone can come flooding in. So sell us the Northumberland Plate, why we should come to the Northumberland Plate in 2021 as we're looking to broaden our racing horizons.
Well, firstly, the race is one of those great heritage handicaps, 20 runners almost guaranteed. It's a great betting heat, lots of wide open interest. There's always a good punt and a gamble on something, but the atmosphere is fantastic. You know, the locals really go to town and make a great day of it. And it's just an electric atmosphere. And if you get a tight finish on plate day, it's wonderful. The roar and the atmosphere is just superb when you get a close finish. Can't beat it.
Well, excellent. Well, look, thanks for giving us an insight on this occasion. I hope it goes well behind closed doors. Everyone will have to watch on from afar on the telly. But maybe you can get round to turning up at Gosforth Park, if not on plate day, on one of the other days, and perhaps seeing a future star as well.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Well, look, great to talk to you. Thanks very much indeed. And thank you for listening to the Cornelius Cast. Please feel free to subscribe, and then you'll always know when the next episode is just around the corner. We'll speak again soon.